Behold. Behold is a word that we don't hear very often anymore, especially not in everyday conversation. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Behold is one of those words that means so much more than any other word we use in our current time. Depending on the version of the Bible that you look at, behold is used over 1,000 times, sometimes close to 1,500 times in the Bible, depending on the version you look at. Many times it's used as a command with an exclamation point in it. Behold, you are getting ready to see something and you better pay attention. So why don't we use it more? I don't think we like beholding. I don't think we like being gripped in somebody's eyes, in somebody's view, in somebody's gaze. And so therefore, we don't like beholding something else. We don't like beholding God because maybe we're afraid he's going to behold us and try to speak to us something we may not want to hear. Behold, definitions. To gaze upon or observe. To see, especially a remarkable or impressive one or act. God uses it in the Bible a lot, like I said, 1,000 to 1,500 times in many translations. Basically as a way to get our attention, to tune us in to what is getting ready to happen, or to tune us in to what he's getting ready to say. Many times in the Bible, it's like, look, behold, pay careful attention to what I'm getting ready to do, and open your eyes and see. Don't just look, don't just watch, but see what I'm doing. See what I'm doing in you. See what I'm doing in these people. See what I'm doing in this situation. See how I'm delivering these people out of bondage. God is pleading with us to be alive and alert to his presence. And I told you, I'm going to be flipping all around, so you just got to go with it, because I'm going with it. So why do some translations continue to use the word behold, and what does it mean? So in Old English, the word is broken down several things, but thoroughly hold. So thoroughly hold my gaze, thoroughly hold my attention, okay? And when we look at the Strong's Concordance in the Old Testament Hebrew, behold is a translation of the word henna. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. H-E-N-N-E-H. I am not a Greek and Hebrew scholar, and nor am I going to pretend to be. So henna. When this word is used, it's generally introducing something new or unexpected. So behold, he's switching gears. Behold, I'm going to do something different. It indicates basically that we need to pay close attention. The word in Greek is adieu, I-D-O-U, okay? Adieu. Not like I bid you adieu, like goodbye, but idu, I-D-O-U. And my slides may or may not go with some of this stuff, so y'all are just going to have to bear with me again. And I'm going to say that's the last time I'm going to say that. I'm going to try not to say that anymore, because I think you get that, okay? I blame God for this. We want to behold what comes next because it is so important. So let's look at a few verses. Isaiah 7:14. You can't look at them. You'll have to look them on your phone or your Bible or whatever you got. Isaiah 7:14, but I'm going to move quick. So if your fingers can move that quickly, Lord bless you. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. John 1, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God. Open your eyes. Here is the Lamb of God, right? This is John John is testifying about Jesus' coming to the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees are questioning him about whether he's the Messiah, whether he's the prophet that we're expecting. And he tells him, no, but there is one among us who is that you do not even recognize. And he says, I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals or untie the straps of his sandals or be his slave. Then in verse 29, he sees Jesus coming and he says, behold, the Lamb of God. Can you imagine being there, seeing Christ walking into that moment? What would we do if we were there like the Pharisees were? How would we react? Behold, the Lamb of God. Look in awe and wonder at the Lamb of God is what John is saying. Look at his awesome, mighty power. Look at God's only Son right here in physical form in front of us. This is the long-awaited one. This is the one you were questioning me about. Behold him. Look at him in awe and wonder, in amazement. Adore him as we were singing that last song. Adore him. Sing a new song was said in that last song. Behold is, I feel, is a call to abandon the distractions of our world and pay attention to what God is saying to us, what he is doing in us and those around us. Behold. And I do not believe we do that enough. I don't do that enough. So God may be preaching this sermon to me this morning, okay? But I believe he has a word for you too. I believe he has a word for all of us as we end 2023 reflecting on the things we've done, reflecting on the things we hoped to do but didn't accomplish, the direction we thought we were going, the direction that we thought God had us going, to come to find out that's not quite what had worked out. I know many of you have experienced that. You've experienced disappointment because you didn't think things were going to go the way they did. But you've also experienced joy because things didn't go the way you thought they would in many situations. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Behold what I'm doing. Forget your expectations. Forget what you want. What do I desire? Where am I moving? Where am I leading? Where am I walking you? What next step do I have for you? Not what next step do you have. What next step do I have for you? Hebrews 12:1 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Okay, and so these are several different versions of the Bible. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. So often we read that as let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles us, right? Let us throw off the sin that entangles us. But it says everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Another version says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin. So sin is included in that weight that slows us down, but it's not the only thing. But that's how we read it so many times. It's like, oh, I don't deal with that sin, or I don't deal with this sin, so that one's not slowing me down. Well, what else is? Is this slowing us down? Another version says, let us throw off every encumbrance. Let's rid ourselves of every obstacle. Right? And he goes on to talk about running the race the Lord has set before us. The obstacle. What are the hurdles, right? This is not a hurdle. This is not the 400-meter hurdle. Expectancy. I said it a moment ago, I think. Are we going into this new year with expectancy? Not expectancy of where we're going and what we want to accomplish. Yes, he wants us to dream. He wants to give us the desires of our heart. But as they align up with the desires of his heart. And as we grow in Christ, our desires start becoming his desires. The desires he wants. The desires of our souls become the desires of God's soul, of God's spirit, of God's walking with us and directing us. So, are we going to the new year expectant, or are we just kind of strolling in, relaxed, hanging out, drinking our tea, our coffee, waiting for God to move? And there's nothing wrong with that, because sometimes that's what he wants, right? He wants us to hang out and move slowly and wait on him. But there's times where he's given us marching orders and we're to take some steps. But we're not beholding. We're beholding. We're not tuned in to him. We're tuned into this. Or we're tuned into the radio. Or we're tuned into the talk show. Or we're tuned into our colleagues and our friends and our family that are speaking down and don't have anything to hope for. Or the people, we're letting them speak hopelessness into us instead of us speaking hopefulness into them. Woo, come on, somebody. Going deeper with God. Y'all remember this is God, this ain't me. Going deeper with God involves a holy dissatisfaction with where we are. A holy dissatisfaction, a holy discontentment with where we are. We've got to be discontent in a holy manner, dissatisfied in a holy manner with where we're at in our relationship with God, in our relationship with each other. God has more for us, people. God has more for you and I in relationship. God has more for he and I in relationship. God has more for me to do. He wants to work through me in a powerful way, but he has to work in me first. And I have to allow that. Behold, the Lamb of God wants to work in me. The Lamb of God wants to work in you. So, going deeper and holy dissatisfaction and holy discontent involves understanding God's abundant goodness, right? His grace, his holiness, his forgiveness, and his justice. We don't like that word, especially when it comes to us, because some of us deserve justice. Don't raise your hand. I'm sorry. I'm raising my hand. I deserve justice for some of the stuff I've done. But man, God's amazing grace. Thank you, Lord. Going deeper with God. Here's a few verses. Oh, wow. I got all kinds of times. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 42:7. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. This scripture speaks of the deep part of God interacting with the deep part of who we are. Can I just say, we don't like to allow God to go deep inside of us. We don't like it when he starts pulling things out of us that are buried deep within. We've worked hard to hold those things in. We've worked hard to bury those things. We've worked hard to not think about those things, sometimes 20, 30, 40 years. And don't get me wrong, I know things are hard. I know we've all experienced trauma, many of us more than others. But God wants to deal with those hurts. If you're familiar with CR, you know, those habits, those hang-ups. But it's not about celebrating recovery. It's about celebrating the grace and mercy and redemption of Christ. And through that, yes, we will be in recovery. but it's about exposing the inner parts of ourselves to God in ways that we don't like to do because it takes time, right? It takes silence. Parker Palmer has a quote. He has a book called, Let Your Life Speak. And so I'm just going to take responsibility now because they have a whole bunch of slides and I'm going way out of order. So thank you, Kyle. And I've already asked him for forgiveness. Well, I haven't, but forgive me, Kyle. So it's not his fault. It's God's, remember? Parker Palmer, the second quote, Kyle, says, the soul speaks only, the soul speaks only under quiet, inviting, and trustworthy conditions. The soul speaks. God wants our soul to speak the things we need healing from. He wants recognition. He's trying to bring to recognition. This is not speaking of just, I'm not saying you don't need professional help for some of this stuff, because we all do. I've seen a professional counselor in my life. My wife and I have seen professional marriage counselors in our life and in our marriage. At times we need help that professionals are the only people that can give us. I believe in the power of God, and I believe he can reveal in us and work through us, but I also believe he's given us psychologists and psychotherapists and counselors and pastors and authors who helps us recognize where God moves the most and where he wants to move in us. Okay, got to go back the other way, sorry. So we must be willing to go deep within ourselves and let God work out the knots that are tied up within us. How many people have knots, right? In our shoulders and in our necks because we're stressed out or we're hunched over the computer or we're sitting in the wrong way and instead of straight up and holding our shoulders back, proud of the work that God is doing. Sometimes it's just that we're just hunched over, relaxing, watching TV. And I'm not saying we don't deserve TV. I'm not saying it's not okay to watch TV. I'm not saying it's okay to scroll and check out your friends and other things. So don't hear me saying that. But there are knots in us. There are knots from the stresses of life. There are knots in us from the desires we have that come from our friends. They're not God desires. God didn't put that desire in our heart. Our friends put that desire in our heart. Proverbs 12:12 says, the deeper the root, the more the fruit. I don't know what version that is, but that's really good, right? I didn't write down the version, so I'm sure you can Google it. Google, see, there are good reasons. There are good things for this. Proverbs 12:12, the deeper the root, the more the fruit. We've got to go deeper. So do you want more fruit in your life? Do I want more fruit in my life? Well, we've got to go deeper with God. Isaiah 37:31 says, root downward and fruit upward. Who knew these things were? I don't remember reading these verses before. Root downward and fruit upward. Ephesians 3:17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. When we are deeply rooted and grounded in God, we will be able to face adversity and we can handle whatever blessing God gives us. I saw a video yesterday, and I'm not going to get this exactly right, but I think you'll get the point. Our calling, right? God's calling for us is up here. Our qualifications are down here. And if our qualifications are up here, because some of us, and I'm guilty of it as well, we feel our calling is here, and I feel my qualifications are here, right? There's no distance here. In fact, I need a whole lot less of God if my qualifications are here. But if my calling is up here and my qualifications are here, I need a whole lot of God to bridge that gap. Okay? And I think that's now how we need to live our lives. I think that's how we need to live our interactions with people. Man, so many of you I've got a great relationship with. I've got such a great relationship with Dante, I can just go up and put my hand on his shoulder, and he knows, he needs something. It's a joke now, thankfully, because he recognized it and so did he. So I try not to do that anymore. But we know each other. We love each other. But there's more to our relationship with each other. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. God is using you to sharpen me. God is using each of you to sharpen each other. And if you're married, even more so. I got 26 years, I can testify. I'm sorry. I got 26 years, my wife can testify. She's not, that's not her, by the way, for those of you who don't know. She's not here. I was just, normally she would be sitting there, so. Oh, man. Okay. First Corinthians 2, 9, and 12. I have a whole bunch of verses, and I wasn't sure whether they applied or not, so that's what I'm doing. I'm reading to see if God wants me to read this or not. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12. But as it is written in the scriptures, no one has ever seen this and no one has ever heard about it. No one has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has shown us these things through the Spirit. The Spirit searches out all things, even the deep secrets of God. There we are again, talking about the deep secrets of God. What are our deep secrets, though? Are we hiding them from God? We've got to pull them out into the light. God is light. If they're hiding in the shadows, that's darkness. That's not what God tells us to do. We've got to get those things out. You've got to expose sores to the light and to the environment for it to start healing, because it will fester from the inside until it explodes. The Spirit searches out all things, even the deep secrets of God. Who knows the thoughts that another person has? Only a person's spirit that lives within him knows his thoughts. And it is the same with God. This is continuing 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12. It is the same with God. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we did not receive the spirit of the world, but we received the spirit that is from God so that we can know all that God has given us. The deep secrets of God. We must know the deep secrets of God to understand what he's saying here. We received the Spirit that is from God so that we can know all that God has given us. God has prepared many things for each of us, and they're not all for tomorrow. Thank the Lord. They're not all for this year in 2024 even. But he's also not worried about the things that he had for us last year or 3 years ago or 5 years ago. It's not to say there won't be repercussions and there won't be issues that are caused by that and by us not being tuned into those and walking in his path for us at those times. But it doesn't mean he's moved on and that he just doesn't have a path, that you're just wandering out there alone without his direction. Doesn't mean that for me. No matter how far off track we get, it's just one step to get back on his path. Now, I believe there are times in life where God has a path for us to be on, a single path, and he's directed our path to be in that particular place. I believe that. But I also believe there are many times where we're walking with God and he says, you want to go do that? That's awesome. Glorify me. Just glorify me in that. I want you to do that. That's the desire of your heart. That's the desire of my heart for you. Walk in that. But then a year or 5 years or 3 months or whatever later, he might have this specific path right here again for you. We've got to be tuned in to God and hearing, right? We say all the time, got to be sensitive to that nudge of the Spirit. Got to feel that little elbow, you know, right? He doesn't, he's done that to me a time or two and maybe to you too. But if we live shallow lives, we will miss the deeper meaning of our lives and of who God is. To know God even more, we must go deeper. We must go deeper by revelation of the Scripture, through prayer, through interaction with Him and His Holy Spirit. We must go deeper with each other. I believe so much of our spiritual formation, right? Of us. Spiritual formation is simply us becoming like Christ. I believe so much of our spiritual formation, I know in the past, so much of my spiritual formation has been by you, right? People that I've been sitting across from in a small group of people, or from across from me at a table at a coffee shop. It's been from those conversations. But it's not been about the weather and about what we did for Christmas. Not that those things aren't important in our relationships. But it's from the deep conversations, the deep soul-forming conversations with each other and with God. The Holy Spirit will reveal deeper truths of God's word as we study the Bible and remain open to his teaching and guidance. But also as we interact with each other, as we take each other deeper into the Word and into the Spirit, into prayer. We are not to do it in our own strength. We cannot reveal anything of God to ourselves. Zechariah 4:6 says it's by the Spirit of the Lord that this happens. Zechariah 4:6, and we speak, This goes on 1 Corinthians 2:13 through 16. So this is a continuation of what I was reading a moment ago. And we speak about these things, not with words taught us by human wisdom, but with words taught us by the Spirit. And so we explain spiritual truths to spiritual people. A person who does not have the Spirit does not accept the truths that come from the Spirit of God. That person thinks they are foolish and cannot understand them. Scripture goes on to say, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been able to teach him? But we have the mind of Christ. We must pursue the mind and spirit of Christ. And the great news is it's never too late, right? Yes, we want to repent. We want to recognize how we maybe didn't do that, but there are a lot of ways we did it this year, right? So I'm not trying to beat you up, so please don't hear that. I don't want you to beat yourselves up. God doesn't want you to beat yourselves up. You know, I was having a conversation with Donna Renfro. I know I'm not God's favorite, but Donna Renfro might be. If you know her, you know why I say that. At least one of his favorite. That's a lie. I think we're all his favorites. But I was having a conversation with her before service, and she reminded me about even this service right now. It's all about trusting God. Man, the Lord has been on a roll this year with me, showing him how I don't trust him. And lots of that comes from not trusting you people, right? Through my skepticism, through cynicism. So maybe you recognize it in yourself. You're like, I don't trust these people. This is something weird going on here. This is something weird going on with Donna Renfro. Jim, you can tell her because I know she stepped up. I want to be weird like Donna Renfro. I want to be whoever God calls me to be. He's not going to call me to be another Donna Renfro. He has one of those. He's going to call me to be me. He created me unique. And in his calling, when I'm walking and living in that, people are going to hear things from me that they can only hear from me. People are going to hear things from God through you that they can only hear through you and see through you. That doesn't mean if you don't do it that he's not going to send somebody else to do it, but they're not going to see it and hear it the same way. It's not going to affect their walk the same way. God's going to accomplish his goals whether we do our job or not, whether we do what he's commanding us to or not. But we're going to miss out on the blessing of following his footsteps on that spiritual path that we can't see physically. Ooh, so Isaiah 43. Ooh, well, good thing it's baptism day. The water's already down there. It's going to be all over the floor. So that is okay. Good thing I have tea left too. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 43. Man, Isaiah 43. There's so much in Isaiah 43 about building up our faith, about building up our trust in God. Behold. I'm going to read some of Isaiah 43 here because we all need a building up of our faith. We all need a building up of our level of trust in God and trust in each other. I'm picking on Dante a little bit, but I know when I ask him to do something, because I have a relationship with him, there's a trust that we've built up. I know it's going to get done. That's why I go over and put my hand on his shoulder, because I know I can trust him to do it. God wants to trust us that we're going to do what he is asking us to do when he asks us to do it. Oh, it's an imperfect walk, folks, and we all know that. There's a rule of 72. I'm just going with it. There's a rule of 72 that, in financial terms, this is a financial analysis kind of framework, and I'm going to try to not butcher it here. There's a rule of 72 that says, I've got 100% right now, right? So if I take that 100% and I add 1% to it tomorrow, today actually, let's start today, add 1% to it today, then I'm going to be at 101% of what I originally had, right? But then I add 1% to it again, well now what? I just added 1.1 of the original amount, 1.1% instead of 1, right? But I'm only adding 1% every day. So 72 days later, I will have doubled that 100% from 100 to 200 in 72 days. It's the rule of 72. What if we just take our spiritual lives like that, right? What if we think of our walk with God, just the 1% rule? 1%. What's 1% of 24 hours? 2.4, so 0.24 of an hour, quarter of an hour, 15 minutes. So 15 minutes of our day, it's 1%. I don't know. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty good at math, but that may be wrong. 15% of our day, that's 1% of our day. I mean, 15 minutes is 1% of our day. Whew, somebody check that and tell me so I can know that for sure next service. 1%. What if I just focus on being 1% better today in my walk with God and in my walk with somebody? That may just mean a 15-minute conversation with somebody that God's been calling me to have a conversation with. Thank you. 15 minutes. That's one conversation. What if we spent 15 minutes in prayer on our way to work while we're in the car that we haven't done before? You know, it's okay to pray with your eyes open. God's okay with that. God's okay with you praying on your way to work, even if you have to do it with your eyes open. By the way, if you drive in DFW traffic and you don't pray, then the other people are probably praying about you, okay? Okay, I said I was going to read some of Isaiah 43 because we can all use some faith building. And I'm not even going to call out the verse. You can just go read the whole chapter if you want to, but I'm going to skip around. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through deep, there's that deep reference again. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Behold, I am your Savior, he's saying. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours. Because you are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. But God is telling us, you are honored, and I love you. You are precious to God. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There has never been and there never will be. I, yes, am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. And that's just in the first 13 verses. I am the Lord, your Holy One. This is starting in verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? Behold, have eyes. Open your eyes. Be sure to look what I'm doing. I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry land. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. God wants to refresh us. But we're turning away this refreshing cold drink of water all the time. I know because I'm doing it. I quench his spirit all the time, not knowingly, not intentionally, but accidentally. But you know what? When he shows it to me, I've got to repent from it. And I've got to do better. Even if it's just 1%. Ooh. So much of this comes down to trust, right? I've covered a lot of ground. But if there's one thing, there's many things I want you to take away from this message. First, we've got to learn to behold and adore Christ, our Savior. But if lack of trust is a core issue in so much of what we do, maybe we don't pray because we don't trust that he's going to move. Maybe we don't trust that he's going to hear us. Maybe we don't trust that he's going to see us or that he does see us. Lack of trust might be a reason for not pursuing our dreams that we've had for years. Yes, we may not be doing it because we think it's selfish or whatever, but God has a plan for us and a desire for us. He wants to give us the desires of our hearts. Again, as they line up with his desires. But if God's placed this thing in your life and in your heart and in your dreams and in your mind, maybe it's a God dream. But what if we fail? Does that mean it's not a God dream? No. That means he has a different next step for us to take. That doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be on that path. Lack of trust might be a reason we're not having that hard conversation that needs to happen. And I'm not talking about lack of trust with somebody, the person or colleague or friend or family that you need to have that conversation with. That could be part of it, but I'm talking about that trust in God. So I want to urge you as we end 2023 and go into a new year, spend some time in the quiet, inviting, and trustworthy conditions with God for sure, right? But with others that are quiet and inviting and trustworthy that will sharpen you. Give God space to work in you so that he can also work through you. He wants to take us deeper this year. And I'm not talking about us as Grace Point Church. Yes, I believe that. But he's only going to do that as he takes you all and me, us as a collective, deeper into who he is. So go to the title slide, Kyle. Please, sir. Seriously, God? Seriously, God? This is what I was saying when he was telling me to preach this morning, because I was really prepared. But that was the name of my message. It just didn't come out like I thought it was going to. And so here's the thing. The next time you find yourself saying, seriously, God, maybe it's a trust issue. Right? Maybe it's a divine appointment. All we can do is follow his lead. That's what he wants. He wants us to follow his lead. And I guarantee you there's no better leader in the world than Jesus. So can I just say, I'm gonna end with something real and raw. And just bear with me for just another moment. I'm almost done. This is a journal entry from Thanksgiving Day. And it's going to talk about some stuff that you aren't going to recognize, but that's okay. This is my private journal entry, and I feel like it's something that somebody here needs to hear. This is my private journal entry as a prayer to God. I'm sitting here this morning thankful, but also broken. I'm thankful for a deepening faith and this deep work he started last November without me even knowing it. The writers' conference I went to last November was the start of a fallow season. I recognize that now, God. However, I really thought you were moving me into a season of fresh growth with full blooms and fruit following in the spring. Boy, how much more wrong could I have been? Unbeknownst to me, you, our master gardener, saw a few withering leaves and some rotting branches that needed attention. You saw hard, compacted paths that needed aerated and fertilized. And you saw weeds that needed pulled and thrown away. This week, as the cold, wet weather enters Texas, again, this is Thanksgiving Day, the sun and warmth of spring is bringing new life to things inside my soul I thought long dead and buried, and they're sprouting of new seeds that are breaking the soil. Thank you, God, for this deep, nourishing work that's been happening inside me this last year. Thank you for the difficult but freeing revelations you are bringing to the surface. Thank you for a love I don't understand. Lord, thank you for the training this week. I know it was your Holy Spirit that called me to be there. Your plans to revive dreams thought to be long dead and to resuscitate and soften a hardening heart are so evident now. Father, please forgive the doubt that has embedding itself in me and been expressed in my attitudes and actions. Forgive my disbelief of your miracle-working, heart-changing, soul-refreshing power. God, I ask for your forgiveness for all these things, and I give you permission, and I desire you to keep up this deep work. I want to believe more, Lord, in you, in your people, in your love of me. I want to trust more than I have. I don't know what you have for my future specifically, Lord, but I trust your desire for me is better than anything I can dream or desire. Father God, I open my heart and soul to the work that only you can do. Continue to soften and restore and resensitize me to your spirit so I can walk in your love and grace like never before. Now let's pray together. Father God, I pray these things over everybody here today also, Lord. Lord, I pray for a revelation of those hidden knots that are inside of us, sometimes even deep down inside of us, God, that need to be loosened, that need to be untied, Father, and you are the only one that can do that. Father, I pray for opportunities to reflect on the things you're doing in our lives today and tomorrow and even into this coming year, Father. God, I pray you give us time, that we give you time to speak, Lord, and that we give you space to speak. Father, I just come to you right now. I ask you to lead us and guide us and even correct us, Lord, and discipline us. Because we know and we trust that you will do it only as a good, warm, and loving Father can. And it's in the mighty Son, mighty name of your Son, Jesus, God, that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Wow. Thank you so much for that word. Before you walk off, I just have felt this. Robert, just for a second. I'm going to bring you back. He didn't know I was going to do this. Robert, are we the same personality?
Oh, no.
Do we always...
I say that because we've talked about that.
Yes. Do we agree on everything?
No, we do not.
Have either one of us expressed that we've ever been hurt in this life?
Yeah.
Have we felt misunderstood?
Yes.
Yeah. Have we felt different?
Yes.
Okay. So me and Robert are not the same person, but we have felt the very same things. Okay. And one thing that I know about Robert is that Robert loves the Lord. And one thing I hope he knows about me is that I love the Lord. And one thing we know about each other is we love this church.
Yes. Yes.
We love this church.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, because Robert and I are different, there's things that I can only learn from Robert.
Amen. And there's things I can only learn from Michelle.
We've had these conversations, and I just want you to know, going into the new year, do not discount people because their personality is different than yours.
Amen.
Do not discount people because they're older or younger than you, or that they have kids or they don't have kids. Don't measure up your friendships and the things that you get from others by your financial status, by where you've been in your life. I've gotten the opportunity to sit across tables, staff meetings and lunches and parties and all kinds of things, and get to know the story behind this face. And I'm telling you, don't discount people because you don't think exactly the same. Love people wholeheartedly. Go into this new year. Hey, take a chance on somebody. Mm. Take a chance on somebody. Behold.
Trust.
Trust. Love you, Robert. Thank you so much for that awesome message.